Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's a pivotal moment in history, and we still have a time to reset ourselves. This is what's happened with COVID. We've reset ourselves. A lot of people went back to their roots. They went back to their families. They went back to their homes. The joke is that Mother Nature sent us to our rooms to figure out what we've been doing. You go to your room and you think about what you've been doing. And so I think a lot of people, there's a better awareness now around taking care of people. There's a better awareness around taking care of our families. And so COVID has been a mixed bag for people. It's a great reset. It's a great opportunity to rethink what we've been doing to our earth, to our people, to our planet, to each other.
How you day, how you day. That was the voice of Caroline.
If you've ever thought about how you can contribute to the world, I want you to listen to today's episode. You know, Caroline is someone who is going down a certain path and discovered her true north while taking a trip somewhere else. For some of you, that might be metaphorical. For some of you, that might be physical. Either way, the ability for you to listen to your true north is the actual way to find your passion and to nurture that God-given talent and ability that has always resided inside you. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I hope you check out her work. I hope you contribute. I hope you share with someone else that needs to hear this episode. And in the spirit of sharing, please leave your reviews on Apple Podcast. We love them here, and it helps the show get, you know, seen more and shared more, and it makes all those charts. So thank you so much for all your support. Without further ado, enjoy the episode. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today's guest is Caroline Boudreau. Now, Caroline is a social entrepreneur and the founder of Miracle Foundation. In May 2000, on Mother's Day, Caroline's life changed forever as she visited India for the first time and met a group of more than 100 orphan children. The children were bald and filthy with empty-looking eyes, yet she saw their incredible potential. Since that day, she has committed her life to helping orphan children realize their potential. And today, we're going to be talking about how to help orphan children all over the world, how to improve and raise our vigilance, awareness, and be better custodians, citizens, and neighbors to each other. And I'm very excited to have you on the show. Welcome to the show, Caroline.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Pleasure is mine. So you talked about that. I was reading your bio. 2000 was a pivotal year for you. What were you doing before 2000?
So I used to be in television. I was an account executive for a television station. So I was doing pretty well financially. But I got to a point where I was making a lot of money, but I just wasn't happy. And I really couldn't figure that out. I grew up small Catholic family, just the nine of us. And I grew up kind of, you know, lower middle class. And I always thought when I was successful financially that kind of everything would happen for me. And it just didn't really work out that way. So it was a little bit confusing. So, you know, what we really all want, we all want three things. Everybody in the world wants the same three things. We all want to love and be loved. We all want our children to be happy, healthy, and taken care of. And we all want to make a difference. And by putting our ladders against the money tree and just going for the money all the time, we don't realize any of those things. And it creates this unfulfillment, this kind of longing, this emptiness that I think a lot of people have, especially in the United States and the developed world, that a lot of people have this emptiness, this like, wait, what is it all for? And I wonder sometimes if it isn't because we kind of passed right over the line of enough. You know, we never had not enough. We've always had enough. And so when we start from there, you don't really know where to go.
Mm.
So, yep. Yeah. Huh. So, you know, I was in this television world and I was just kind of, it was a cool world. It was very hip, very fun. But it lacked some fulfillment.
Found that in India.
Well, yeah, I didn't mean to find it. I didn't even actually know I was looking for it. I knew what I was running away from. I didn't know what I was running to, but yeah, my friend and I, like you do in Austin, Texas, you go in and you have a margarita and you start complaining about your job. And then by the end of that second margarita, we had this trip around the world planned. And one of the places she wanted to go was India because she'd been sponsoring a little boy there and she wanted to go meet him. And so that is why we ultimately ended up in India.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. So once that happens, you see a side of the world that maybe you aren't exposed to as often. What is turning, you know, what's happening in your head? What are you doing?
Oh, I mean, I was honestly haunted. I was haunted by what I saw in that orphanage. You know, here I am, this woman who has been given everything that life can, you know, the opportunity to reach my full potential. That's what my parents gave me. And here are these children, they don't have enough to eat. They don't have parents. They, you know, it's like, what chance do they have? And they have all this potential. They have all this, there's a, you know, it's a dim spark, but there's a spark in those eyes that I just recognized immediately. I recognize myself in them, honestly. And, you know, we had dinner with them. They gave us chicken. They gave the rice. That's why they were bald. They didn't have any protein. We had this beautiful Hindu prayer service with them. And then after dinner, we were holding them. We were calling them Velcro babies because they were just attached to us. And this little baby girl came and put her head on my knee. And, you know, don't forget, it's Mother's Day. It's May the 14th of 2000. It is Mother's Day. And I'm surrounded by these parentless children. And this motherless children, and this little baby girl comes and puts her head on my knee. And I sing her the lullaby my mom used to sing to me. And I went to put her, and she falls asleep in my arms. I went to put her in her bed. And I walk into this room with these 30 wooden beds, like picnic tables, these splintered wooden beds. And when I heard her bones hit that bed, I thought, man, somebody better help these children. And that was just the beginning. And so then I was just so haunted by what I saw there. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I just really didn't know what to do. And so I decided that I was going to do one thing for them every single day, whether that was research, whether that was trying to send an email to all my friends and family to raise money for them, whether it was try to start a nonprofit, which is what I ultimately ended up doing. And I called the nonprofit Miracle Foundation because I knew that they were little miracles. And I knew that if they had a foundation, they could reach their full potential. And that's what this has been all about for 21 years.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I love hearing stories like that because I think you're right. I think a lot of us end up doing things that we think we're supposed to do, but it isn't what we actually are supposed to do. Because either, you know, we get comfortable, you know, or we are, part of us maybe are afraid of what our full potential could be and what that means. We're going to have to sacrifice or quote unquote leave behind. And it's interesting with that journey because there's actually fulfillment at the end of it if you follow it to its proper destination. But we can confuse ourselves or convince ourselves rather that the quote unquote suffering that will come with that, or alienation that will come with that, or exclusion that could come with that, is not a price that many of us are willing to pay.
Yeah, it's really interesting. People tell me they were always telling me, "You, Carolyn, you have so much passion. There's so much passion in your work." And I finally ended up looking it up, and it means the willingness to suffer for someone else.
Really? But that's what passion means?
That's what it means. I didn't know. But you know, I got to tell you, you know, it's what I think suffering is having everything that money can buy. What we're really going for is everything that money cannot buy. That is fulfillment, contentment, peace, love. Money can't buy any of those things. Eesh. And so really it's a secret. And it's one of the most selfish things we can do is take care of other people's children. I call them OPCs, other people's children, because when we start taking care of other people's children the way we want to take care of our children, the world will change. I'm convinced that that's what it's going to take to change this world. When we start caring about other people's children, you know, foster care would not be okay for our children. Being in an orphanage would not be okay for our children. How are we letting this be okay for other people's children? How?
Well, okay. So speaking of that, the world changing, the world has changed even more so with COVID. How has your work been affected by the pandemic? Because, you know, a lot of orphans don't get, you know, they're not high priority, unfortunately, with what's happening.
It's a mixed bag, honestly, because while, you know, most of the world hovers around the poverty line, so $2 a day, most of the world falls, you know, on a graph, most of the world falls around that poverty line. And then there's this huge reach up, and then, you know, about 5% of the world is at the top, at the very top, like a mile away from that poverty line. People at the top took a rise up during COVID, and people at the bottom took a step down. So everybody that was close to the poverty line is now below the poverty line after COVID. Of course, it also created a digital divide. That's the bad news. The good news is that, you know, it's a pivotal moment in history, and we still have a time to reset ourselves. This is what's happened with COVID. We've reset ourselves. A lot of people went back to their roots. They went back to their families. They went back to their homes. They were, you know, the joke is that Mother Nature sent us to our rooms to figure out what we've been doing. You go to your room and you think about what you've been doing. And so I think a lot of people, there's a better awareness now around taking care of people. There's a better awareness around taking care of our families. And so COVID has been a mixed bag for people. It's a great reset. It's a great opportunity to rethink what we've been doing to our earth, to our people, to our planet, to each other.
It's an opportunity to reflect instead of just react, which is something many of us always need to do.
And we were going so fast. I mean, we were just, I was going so fast. Like, we just take a step back, relax, breathe a bit, and figure out how we're going to really figure out what's important.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of people have stepped up. You know, when I said it's a mixed bag, we've got a lot more support than we had before. I think people are like, oh my gosh, where would I be without my mother? Where would my children be without me? So this pull to take care of other people's children has grown for people through COVID.
Well, that's good to hear, because I'm always worried about vigilance and you know, how we can use the power dynamics that come with our privileges. You know, a lot of times many of us have different privileges that we don't even consider privileges until you're exposed to, you know, lack of access in different communities. But now, yes, there's definitely a silver lining, but how can we make sure it isn't a trend, right? It's more of a mainstay, a movement where we are active, you know, participants in dismantling these oppressive systems that continue to, you know, keep people below the poverty line.
Oh my gosh, that's the $64,000 question. That's the perfect
only $64,000.
That's the perfect question. And the answer is that we have to be diligent. I love the word diligent. And we have to start the best way to help let me back up here. Here's what you do. Here's how you do it. We have to focus on two things. Yes. We have to focus on the planet, and we have to focus on people. Now, this is bad news for people that want to focus on the Met or the ballet or, you know, classical music. I get all of that. You're Ivy League school. I get all of that. People want to focus on that right now. If we focus on people, that means inequality. That means people that don't have the same opportunities that we have, people that don't get what we have. If we could focus on people and we could focus on our planet, if we could do that until 2030, I'm telling you, we would have a different world right now. That's all doing our part, no single use plastics, working with, you know, recycling, doing what we can for the planet, and then working with organizations that are focusing on root cause, getting people out of poverty, getting them root cause. And the way you focus on a nonprofit, the way you really help a nonprofit is you donate monthly. That is how you help a nonprofit. You donate monthly. That means nonprofits can count on money. They can use the money that they have. They know how to budget against it because they know it's coming in every month. That was the hardest part from going from the corporate world to the nonprofit world, is where is this money going to come from? 30% of our money comes in after the 15th of December every year. It's a very difficult way to do business. It used to be 50% of our money came in December of every year. So we've gotten people to donate monthly. That diligence you're talking about, every single month, making sure that you're supporting an organization that's focused on the people or the planet, and focusing really on the lowest of the low, the people that are not going to have an opportunity without us.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Was that because of the end of the year? Is that why December is a big month? The holidays, yeah.
Holidays, and people are thinking about their taxes, and they just kind of think about that check at the end of the year, and it's like, don't think about the poor at the end of the year. They're our blessing, our greatest teacher. Think about them every day, every month at least.
Just wanted to stop by here before we get back to the episode. I wanted to let you all know that I do have a collective for people who are interested in developing their cultural competency skills, becoming more anti-racist. And it's a resource of things that you can do with your family, with your school, with yourself, to work through your individual journey to become a better culturally competent leader. It's called UID Collective, and the link is in the show notes, but it's a mix of courses, it's a mix of resources, things you can download, and all you need to do is sign up as a member. It's a monthly membership. I'd love for you to check it out, use it with your friends, use it with your family, use it with yourself, okay? The link is in the show notes. It's called UID Collective, and it's for those of you that want to improve your cultural competency skills. Back to the episode.
Blessed
are the poor.
Are the poor.
You said something that you said. You said it before we hit record, and you said it again now. You root cause. How can we become more aware of root causes in our systems?
This is technical, complex work, getting to root cause. So for years, when I started the Miracle Foundation, we would go into existing orphanages and give them money to feed and nurture children. Super important. I mean, kids got to eat, all that. It's super important. But so here's the analogy. If you're walking on the street and you see a baby floating in the river, drowning in the river, you're going to jump in the river and save the baby. There's no doubt about it. That's what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. So then imagine you see another baby drowning in the river. Well, you jump back in the river and you save that baby. Then there's another baby and another baby. And we got so busy saving the babies in the river that we never stopped and looked up at the bridge and saw the guy throwing the babies in the water. Huh. That is root cause. Getting to the guy that's throwing the babies in the water, getting to what is causing these children to be in the water in the first place. So it's not something that, it's not something that someone that doesn't do this for a living can really do. It's very complex work. It's what it is at the end of the day. It's poverty alleviation. That's what it is. Poverty is what makes people separate from their children. Desperation makes people separate from their children. So if you can get to a family long before that, if you can prevent children from entering the system in the first place, then you can, because once a kid enters the system, the minute a social worker or CPS is involved, the minute that happens, there's damage done. We got to prevent them from entering the system in the first place. And the way you do that is through community-led initiatives, youth-led initiatives. It's pretty complicated work, but it works. And we know that it works.
Yeah. Can we talk more about that damage to the system? There's I'm a big part of Big Brother, Big Sister. So I've been
Yeah.
So one of my kids has been in three foster care systems. It was three foster care systems before I started mentoring him. Now he's adopted. But that was before he was 10, you know. So, and, you know, even when I'm talking to him sometimes, you know that there's some things that he's not ready to talk about yet. But I'm curious, you said, once they're in the system, there's a lot of things that go down. Why is it so harmful sometimes? Or I guess a lot of times.
Yeah, it's harmful. Well, look, I mean, moving three times. I mean, he didn't move three times with the same people. He moved three times by himself. Mm. That is trauma, you know? And what did we, you know, like I said, it's pretty complicated work. In the foster care system, the average child in the United States moves seven times.
Seven times.
Why the bounce? The bounce is because the system is very cumbersome and 60% of families quit within the first year. It's very difficult. We make it very difficult on families to help raise these children. And so, you know, Miracle Foundation does work. We connect the foster care system. We connect families with wraparound services is one of the things that we're so proud to do because we think that bounce is tragic. So, I'm so proud that your little brother got adopted. That's the name of the game. Safety and permanency is the name of the game. That bounce is damage that we're doing. And so we have to figure out ways to make the system easier. And the foster care system is not so broken. It's just so overburdened and old that if we updated it a bit, connected people in it a bit, it would work.
Yeah. It's something that I wasn't aware of before because, now I was thinking of wait, I live in New York. So I was thinking of ways to participate in the local, you know, ecosystem. And one of those ways for me is always been through, you know, mentoring and providing for the next generation. And it was something that I thought about when I was younger. I grew up, my dad was a diplomat, but we initially grew up under dictatorships. And a lot of what we witnessed growing up was scarcity, you know, scarcity of resources, you know, fear, not having access, not knowing what tomorrow was going to be like, not knowing whether you were safe or not. And so as we transition to civilian role, you start to find gentle moments of hope. And then like, hey, wait, okay, today's not gonna be like yesterday. Oh, wait, we have 2 days there. Good. Nothing happened. No gunshots, no any of these things. And so as I started to see that, I remember, I can't remember what it was, but I was watching something when I was, I think, 11. And it just showed kids in war zones or kids in similar situations that I had been in, except they had no parents. And then I was thinking, wow, what must they be thinking? You know, so it's always been top of my mind where, you know, I just wonder what we can do if many of us, you know, thought about this situations often. And I haven't thought about it the way I should have as much because I'm sure it's an excuse. You said life gets in the way, but that's what I mean by vigilance. I you know, this is more of a question for me. How can I and people listening make sure that despite what's happening, we never get distracted from the horrors that continue to happen in today's world?
Yeah, you know, you bring out this really interesting point. You know, aren't we lucky to be the givers? Aren't we lucky to be the givers?
Given, huh? Okay. That's a reset, reframe that I hadn't even thought about. Okay, so if we think about it from that perspective, that point of view, is then should the focus be on giving and how we can give consistently?
I mean, right. Yes, that is how you get what money can't buy. So first of all, you're not going to outgive yourself. You're not going to lose. Try to be out generous. I mean, radical generosity is the people that we, because of the work that we do, we're surrounded by people that are radically generous. Their lives are radically blessed. I don't know what comes first, the chicken or the egg, but I would suggest that because we don't know, being radically generous is a really incredible way to start. I've also learned that people that aren't generous with a dollar are not going to be generous with $1 million. So when people say, oh man, if I win the lottery, I'm going to, no, it's not true. Some of those, right? If you're not generous with a dollar, you're not going to be generous with $1 million. No way. Generosity is generosity. But yes, we should be focused on the giving and that gratitude. It is a virtuous cycle.
I love that. There's something I teach my clients and people in general, because you know I'm always talking about oppressive systems, and I always say you should practice this in PAA. So privilege, access, action. So I have people make a list of all their privileges, from anything.
Oh my God.
All that. And then I ask them to pair that up with whatever access that gives them, that it doesn't give certain groups of people, and then come up with an action plan based on that, right? Because it's an interesting thing to see, for example, I'm able-bodied, right?
Yeah.
So it's something that many of us don't think about. The fact that you're walking, you're using a lot of your senses. How can you then, if that's top of your mind, create access for many of these things? And then you think about the fact that masks, for example, don't have, they're not always able to help people that might be deaf, right? And especially since they do sign, since the ones that practice sign language. And it's something that I wasn't aware of until someone who was married to someone who was deaf said it, and how it's confusing for him to walk around the streets. And I was like, well, how did I not even, I didn't even reflect on that. But those moments where you really sit with yourself to think about access that you might have that you take for granted, but other people don't have. And then you're just like, well, I need to worry about plastic. I need to worry about the water here. I need to worry about how I'm, using this dollar or this food or all that. But that's something that I try to get people to do. But it's interesting, but I think it's something that needs to be done consistently, because we can't, it's not something we take a day off of, because other people's days are just going on. So,
and nothing's heavy if everyone lifts. If everybody would lift, it wouldn't be so darn heavy. But because some people just aren't lifting, and I think it is that they're just not aware, like people that read lips and the mask thing. I never thought about that. It's like, once you're aware, you can start to be grateful for things. I think gratitude is a really great place to start. I love your PAA. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah. Thank you. And it's something, when you become more aware, it's hard to unsee things. That's the thing.
Right.
Yeah. Because then you're like, oh shoot, I'm part of the problem. Especially if you've seen it and you've seen how you participate in the problem, whether you knew it or not, you still participate in the problem. It's just, you start to get that pang on your conscience. Like, oh, I used a plastic bottle today. And that's a big thing, by the way. And you've mentioned it, the use of plastic and how it affects the whole ecosystem of the planet. But it does affect, and it has far-reaching consequences that many of us might not feel, because, we're thirsty, right? I'm just thirsty right now. So what's one bottle? So, yeah, these things. It's all
That we can do on the micro level, like getting a reusable water bottle that you use all the time, that we can do that at a micro level. But at a macro level, I think if we all gave to organizations that were working with people or the planet, we really could be where we want to be. We could be the country and the planet that works for everybody. And that is what we're after here. A planet that works for everybody, not a planet that works for the top 5%. I mean, if we just could move down the scale and be a planet that works for the top 50%, that would be awesome. But we work for the top 5%. I mean, it's a really bad grade. Really bad grade.
Yeah, yeah. Even 50%, yeah. 50% is still an F. So
it's still an F.
but you, okay. So I'm sure you've heard this a lot. That you have critics, right? Critics of nonprofits, critics of the work that you might do. They say, well, we need more transparency. We don't know where the money's going, or why you all this. We see it all the time. And then you have some bad actors in the industry who have unfortunately done.
yes.
things that they shouldn't have done. So what do you normally say when you receive those types of criticisms or those pushback from people saying, well, why should I give my money away to you or any other nonprofit?
Well, you know, it does help to know the leadership. So I think, you know, betting on the jockey is really important. So if you can know the leadership or know someone at the leader level of an organization, it's powerful. There are also these charity watchdogs. There's a company called Charity Navigator. Charity Navigator does their homework. They are all up in our business. They look through our financials. They're really amazing organization. We happen to have the highest possible rating. And same with GuideStar. GuideStar looks at our efficacy and our efficiencies. We have a platinum there, but there are watchdog organizations that help you. You can get references. And then of course, at the end of the day, you know, like, how do you know people aren't cheating you? There is a level of trust. So finding an organization you trust, finding a mission you're passionate about. I think that is key. Finding a mission you're passionate about. And really laser beam, not shotgun. A laser beam approach. Put most of your money in three organizations. Don't donate to 100 organizations. Most of your money in three organizations and let a laser beam effect begin to happen. We can make a much bigger impact with a laser beam than a shotgun.
Laser beam and a shotgun. Did you grow up in the South? These analogies are yours.
A dead giveaway, right?
Yeah. I love it. So how can we help? You know, how can we reach out to you? What are the best ways to participate in what you're working on?
Thanks for asking. You can go to our website at miraclefoundation.org and donate monthly. Nothing is bigger for us than that monthly donation, because it's money that we can count on. And we're doing four things. We're connecting the U.S. foster care system with a technology-based app. It rolls out March. It's amazing. It's going to connect foster families so that they don't have that bounce. So children don't bounce, so that families can stick together. We also train the social workforce. We are experts in family care, and we work to strengthen families. We work with social workers all over the world to strengthen families. And then we do youth-led initiatives. So we do grants around the world for youth to go put these programs together to prevent children from entering the system. So youth on the ground are doing these programs around the world, and we give grants for that. And the last thing we do is we empower governments to be a voice for children. So we make sure that the children have the voice, that they have access to writing their own script. So it's been so powerful. We've helped so many thousands of people. There's nothing more powerful you can do than to help somebody else's children. And that's what you're going to be doing when you help Miracle Foundation.
Well, I love that. We'll make sure we'll put that in the show notes. That's very important. Helping other people's children. My English teacher would have shook her head.
You'd be so glad if you did.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just amazing. Given a little bit of opportunity, you would not believe. I mean, the first rung to the ladder of success is 10 feet tall. If we could get them on that first rung, man, they climb. The hardest part is that very first rung. And that's the root cause we're talking about. That's the work we're talking about.
Hey, no, we got this.
Totally.
The last question I ask my guest is my mission statement reframed as a question. So, which is use your difference to make a difference. So how do you, Caroline, use your difference to make a difference?
You know, I think about connecting people who want to make a difference with people who desperately need a difference made in their lives. That's the work of the Miracle Foundation. Sometimes I say it's the nutritionally starving taking care. I mean, the spiritually starving taking care of the nutritionally starving.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
Yeah. That the work is not just about the work is not just about the children. The work is an inner work for us. The opportunity to have what money can't buy. The opportunity to make a difference with your life and matter to somebody else.
Wow. That's powerful. All right. Well, it's been a pleasure, Caroline. This is a wake-up call within a wake-up call, but it's a reminder as well. And I love the, again, vigilance that you're paying to this, but the consistency and the energy that you have around this movement. And because you're right, you know, many of us can activate our inner givers, and we can do that consistently. And the more we do that, the lighter the burden becomes for us to, you know, to bear. So I appreciate everything that you're doing, and thank you so much for, you know, taking a leadership role in this.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The pleasure is mine. And kings, queens, and royalty, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.